Nau mai, haere mai. Welcome to the Maxim Institute podcast. My name is Jason, and I'm the Communications Manager at Maxim Institute. This is our weekly short-form podcast. These podcasts are released in tandem with our weekly column and are a chance for you to hear in-depth from the column's author about some of the thinking that went into producing their final piece. Today, we talk to Executive Director Tim Wilson about his latest column. Tim, welcome along to the podcast this week. Good to have you.
Can't wait to talk.
All right. Well, we are talking about the treaty debate, your latest article for Maxim, what people are getting wrong. Now, in your article, it seems there's a lot of scope for people to get things wrong because a recent survey shows that only 6-7% of us trust the information that MPs are giving us around the treaty, and it's even less for political parties and the media.
Yeah, so this is an interesting, it was a poll done, commissioned by the Human Rights Commission, if I can use two commissions in one in one sentence. And it's like, who do you trust to give accurate information on the treaty? And, well, we don't trust a lot of the people who it would seem, are occupying the public debate. So MPs, only 7% of us trust MPs to give accurate information.
Those are the people that are debating in public we should be getting, well, at least who purport to give us our information on the treaty.
I think that stems somewhat from a New Zealand aversion to politics. So I think in some sense, I don't know what to make of that figure, except what's clear is when an MP is being quoted as gospel, well, you know, just step back, have a think about it.
93% of us
are going, oh, what should I really be? What should I really be thinking? Attending to? What was also interesting was that 6% of people trusted media, which means 94% of people don't trust media to give accurate information on the treaty. And this is what started me writing this piece, was we heard huge prophecies of ominous signs at Waitangi this year.
It was going to be like a war zone.
Oh, it's going to be like a war zone. I mean, I read one piece where it's like, oh, we've got to call it's like we should contemplate calling in the army to ensure stability, not to Waitangi, but as in
the
area,
to
the general treaty debate.
Yeah,
and as it turned out, it was, and the headlines were like tensions flatline, i.e., there's no clicks in this. Yeah. Whoa, what about Prince Charles? Yeah, he's got cancer.
Look at something else that's more exciting. Yeah, more clickbaity. Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. So, in the end, the prophecy, the doomsayers didn't have much.
They really didn't. Their prophecies did not come true.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad of that. And it actually was something that was quite heartening to observe. So it's interesting because we do an internship at Maxim and some of our interns were up there. What comment of one is like, oh, you know, you hear all the stuff in media about protests, but what you don't get is the full context that, you know, a few meters away, there's a bouncy castle.
Yeah, and so, families and kids.
And kids, and, you know, there might be music playing. So that's not conveyed the way some of the representations. You might watch, actually, if you watch the whole thing, but most people don't have time to watch the whole thing.
They grab the headlines on the 6 p.m. news or whatever. So I wonder if then that is like you say, is good news for the state of our nation, that we're not maybe as antagonistic towards each other as the media says we are.
Well, it's clear that what was billed as a conflict point was actually a time when people spoke, people were listened to. Okay, sometimes they were booed, but at least those antagonistic figures like David Seymour, like Winston Peters, who were both booed, they showed up
and they were there.
So, as someone who's lived in the United States for 10 years, the two opposite worlds, Democrat and Republican, don't really interact. If we're taking that as a measure of polarization, whereas you see figures like David Seymour, who is seen often, I think, in Te Ao Māori as an antagonistic figure. Mm. He's still going to Waitangi.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, he's getting booed. I don't like that. Mm. But having said that, he still did get to speak and he still showed up. And that says something for the vitality of our civil society. We've still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, it's over, we can all relax.
Yeah.
But just that difference between the United States and our country
yeah.
is really marked. In America, they believe in freedom, which is say whatever the hell you want
yeah.
and it's your problem. Over here, we're fairness, which is yeah. like, want to be a bit careful.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Don't want to destroy a relationship for the yeah. sake of saying whatever the heck yeah. I want.
And sometimes that's a disadvantage. Mm. Like, you know, if I want to do some freeform about the Barbie movie at Christmas time, I'm going to get shot down.
That's right.
But that, everyone's going to go, oh, isn't it lovely weather we've been having?
Yeah, that's you know? Right. Yeah, that's right. So one other thing that you brought up here is that's kind of a cultural thing that, that we like fairness and we don't necessarily rush like conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We actually run from conflict.
Yeah, we do. But something else that may play a part in that is intermarriage and the fact that our cultures, you said in one study, an observer said that they're leaky vessels. So they're not as maybe distinct as we think they are.
Yeah, yeah. And often for the sake of argument, we see these two worlds, or it's presented to us as the Pākehā world and Te Ao Māori, the Māori world.
Mm.
And yet, historically, we've had very high rates of intermarriage between Māori and non-Māori.
Mm.
And that's where the leaky vessels phrase comes from, with that commentator saying, and I'll just quote, although the autonomy and incommensurability of cultures, a big word,
yeah.
is asserted often enough in that they're distinct and they can't meld
yes.
or they can't interact, cultures are actually leaky vessels created, renewed, and transformed in endless contact with others.
Mm.
And so that speaks to, I think, the fact that, and if I go back to America, often racial inequality to me seemed like a fight between two very different families.
Mm.
Whereas for us, the metaphor I would say is it's a fight within a family because often our families are mixed.
Mm.
And it's that nature, that sense of we're not as distinct as we're often told we are.
Mm.
And that I think that's a positive sign.
Yeah. Yeah, so around the dinner table at Christmas, you'll have people of all shapes and sizes and stripes and yeah. leanings.
Yeah.
And we're all part of the family. And we're
we're all trying not to talk about stuff that makes us in conflict.
Yeah, that's right.
But we know one another.
Mm.
Whereas again, if you look at the United States, that preoccupation with freedom means that people isolate themselves in communities where there's an echo chamber.
So they're going to be free and do their thing over here and you can be free and do your thing over there, but we're just going to yell at each other and we're not going to mix together. We're going to be more segregated intentionally ourselves.
Yeah.
Whereas here, there's a history of more intermingling, more conversation,
Coexistence.
Yeah, coexistence.
And now that will be tested as we go forward. You know, I think that it's fair to say Chris Hipkins of Rasana said that his observation was that Labor hadn't brought non-Māori along with them.
Mm.
What I hear from some in the Māori world is that there's still frustration within the Māori world as well over the last 6 years. So, look, this is not taken care of yet, but I think, you know, the fact is that, and this is something that I quote in my column, is a great quote by Tama Iti, which is that history has woven us together. We are the basket, the kete, that holds the future. And that sense of interweaving is something we really have to keep in mind. And let's not unravel the basket. Let's not unravel the kete.
Mm. Hopeful words, Tim. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Many ominous omens filled the year before this year's Waitangi celebrations. Commentators were prophesying trouble. Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters was booed in the morning. A hikoi approached, the leaders of which had been unable to promise that violence wouldn't occur. And then. Frustratingly for those who value polarisation, tensions flatlined according to one headline, unless you were David Seymour. To his credit, he was there in person. Chris Luxon spoke uncontroversially. Indeed, the Waitangi Trust chair, Peter Tepene, summarised things. I think there has been progress. It may be glacial, and saying that, glaciers are quite fast these days, but I think there has been some progress. The media quickly turned to King Charles and cancer. What's really happening? Did we skirt the precipice of an abyss, or did we get distracted by something else? The issue is contentious, no question, for both Māori and Pākehā. Chris Hipkins admitted at Ratana that Labour hadn't brought along non-Māori. But I understand there's frustration as well within Te Ao Māori, or the Māori world, with the lack of progress under the previous government. So no one's overjoyed. Let's also keep in mind that we don't actually trust many of the people giving us information in and around the treaty. A recent poll done for the Human Rights Commission, as disseminated by The Facts, finds that trust of MPs to explain the treaty accurately is a mere 7%. For media, it's 6%, and political parties, 4%. The big winner? Our National Library, with 45%, which is still less than half of us. Moreover, it's a dispute. Culturally, we don't tend to like those things here. Because we're a small country, our impulse is to suppress rather than exacerbate dissent. For example, try saying something unkind about the Barbie movie at Christmas dinner. We prefer fairness. Compare that to the US, which values freedom, often at the expense of fairness. As someone who's lived both in the US and New Zealand, there's a clear difference between the way issues of racial inequity are transacted in public. Over there, they feel like a fight between two different families. Here, it's more like an argument within a family. Sure, culture plays a part, but perhaps intermarriage does too. Marriage rates between Māori and non-Māori have historically been high. This leads to intercultural mixing, which creates an interesting situation. As one observer notes, although the autonomy and incommensurability of cultures is asserted often enough, cultures are actually leaky vessels, created, renewed, and transformed in endless contact with others. Perhaps this explains Sir Bill English's optimism around the treaty. We keep finding ways of resolving or reducing those tensions, he said. The issue is baggy, fraught, and messy. Beware of anyone who offers blinding clarity or a narrative outside a family dispute. In the words of Tama Iti, history has woven us together. We are the basket, the kete, that holds the future. Let's not unravel that basket.
Thanks for listening to the Maxim Institute podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us and keep up with the rest of our research and analysis of politics and policy in New Zealand, you can sign up on the homepage of our website to get our monthly forum email and invitations to future Maxim Institute events. You can search and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. From the team at Maxim, mā te wā, goodbye for now.